Hello, I'm Dr. Eric Liedtke. Do you ever feel insignificant? Do you ever feel like what you do doesn't really matter? Well, sometimes you just need to take a step back and change your perspective. Isn't that right, Doctor?
Yes. Hello, this is Dr. Nikki Smith. And today, you may be walking around feeling some disorientation, but it's all a part of the bigger plan.
Hello again. I'm Dr. Eric Liedtke, and sometimes when you have too many choices, it can feel like you don't have any choices at all.
Hello, I'm Dr. Nikki Smith, and just when you feel like life is giving you lemons, you picked this podcast to listen to. Press any button.
All right, I think that's enough of that. All right, welcome to Press Any Button.
A video game podcast.
We're not actually doctors. I'm Eric.
Not a doctor, just a Nikki.
Yeah, just a Nikki and an Eric.
We could be doctors if we wanted to, probably.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's easy.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't your dad a doctor?
Yeah.
Technically?
Yeah, he wasn't that smart.
Yeah, and anyone can get their PhD.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake. All right, so Eric, what game are we talking about today?
Superliminal.
All right. Superliminal is a 2019 surreal puzzle game released by Pillow Castle Games. The game, played from a first-person perspective, incorporates gameplay elements based around optical illusions and forced perspective. Notably, objects can be scaled to the player's perspective, enabling one to solve puzzles to complete the game. Superliminal was released for Mac OS and Windows in November 2019, and for Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One in July 2020. It was also released for Linux in November 2020, and for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X in November 2022.
Cool.
I guess I should say, the game needs a spoiler warning, not so much for the stories, but we're going to talk about the puzzles and get into some strategy. So just be prepared to hear all that.
Yeah, the spoiler is more for the puzzles and not for the story, because the puzzles are like kind of the highlight of this game.
And
some of the puzzle solutions I feel would definitely be a spoiler for the game because it's so short, you know, there are only so many puzzles.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to really talk about too many, you know, like,
yeah, we're not going to go
spoilers
through
spoilers of puzzles, but we're going to talk about some basic stuff. So,
yeah, we're not going to go through every single one. I was thinking about some of the major ones that I was beating my head against the wall.
Tripped you up.
Yeah, I'll probably talk about the solution to those.
Okay. So, Eric, were you able to find a bunch of history on this game since it's pretty new?
Yeah, I found some new-ish stuff. I got some stuff written out.
All right, I can't wait.
Thanks to Wikipedia.
So, Eric, do you think you have a good perspective on what it took to get this game made?
I do, you know. Okay, so Superliminal was developed by the 6-member team of Pillow Castle.
Pillow Castle is a cool name too. Like, if I was gonna buy a castle, I'd want a Pillow Castle. That sounds nice.
It was led by Albert Shee, a student from the Entertainment Technology Center, ETC, at Cambridge Mellon University.
Ooh.
So
he sounds smart.
So probably a doctor, I don't know. She had developed the foundation of the game while an undergraduate student at ETC around 2013 as part of a programming assignment, looking for what kind of interesting first-person game can I build just by moving cubes around.
Oh, cool.
So he kind of made this as an undergrad student.
Nice.
Pretty neat.
I kind of like getting random assignments and stuff like that, because I think then when you have like perimeters, it can force people to like get pretty creative.
Yeah, sorry, not the entire game, just the foundation of the game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he improved upon the concept during his graduate work, establishing Pillow Castle in January 2014 and obtaining assistance from 4 other ETC students to build out the game.
Wow. So it was him and four students.
Yeah, kind of building this out. She had been inspired by successful games like Risk of Rain and Antechamber that had been made by small teams to continue his work on Superliminal. And I hadn't heard of either of those games.
Me either.
I know another big inspiration for it was Portal.
Oh, yeah.
Because she likened the Superliminal scaling puzzles to the Portal-based ones in Portal, mm-hmm. designing the puzzles to create moments of epiphany for the player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also the whole just basically being the only person in the game, that's also very Portal-y. Because yeah. in Portal, you're pretty much the only person. And also they communicate through like basically just a voice that you hear through certain things. Kind of like GLaDOS in Portal.
I've never played Portal, but I kind of regret not playing it before this game a little bit because I feel like I could draw more of a connection. I know you mm-hmm. have played Portal though. So.
I played it a little bit, but I wasn't too dedicated to finishing it. I feel like if I played it now, then I definitely would probably want to try to finish it. But back then I wasn't like as much of a gamer.
Yeah.
And it got hard real quick. I was just like, I don't know. I had a lot going on too. I was in school and everything else. So.
Yeah. Okay. So the core concept behind Superliminal, of course, is based on forced perspective. Was she referencing the common tourist photos of people using forced perspective to appear as if they're pushing or holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa?
Yeah, that is a cool thing to draw inspiration from.
Achieving the scaling mechanics and the Unity engine was itself straightforward, according to Xi. When the players pick up an object, the game tracks the object size and distance. Then, as the players look around, the game figures the new distance to the furthest point directly in front of the player and scales mm-hmm. the object size proportionally to the change from the original distance.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It sounds like it would be really hard to program that.
Yeah, that sounds like
probably a lot of math involved.
Yeah, I think I get it. Like, that doesn't sound that difficult to program. But what he did find more difficult was accounting for the complex shapes of some objects. So you have like some that aren't cubes, basically, or spheres.
Like the chess pieces or like the blocks of cheese.
Yeah.
Or are they really blocks? Wedges of cheese.
Wedges of cheese.
And like apples and things like that, I guess.
Yeah. Other puzzles in the game involving the projecting and deprojecting of 3D objects onto 2D planes used Unity's camera and projector objects, with the only challenge being related to the camera depth. Something that she said was not well supported in Unity, but credits programmer Phil Fortier for solving.
And that was something I still had a problem with when I was playing the game, too. I couldn't quite tell how close or near to something it was. Like, the size was easier to tell than, necessarily, where it was going to land when you dropped it or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. So, originally, the game was revealed as Museum of Simulation Technology as a tech demo. That's, what they called it, mm-hmm. or what he called it, or what he originally had as the title of the game.
What was it again?
Museum of Simulation Technology.
Okay.
The demo was first featured at the 2013 Tokyo Game Show during the Sense of Wonders Night, an event dedicated to indie games. The demo won the event's Best Technology and Audience Award. So.
Wow. So they really did the most.
Okay, yeah.
I'm here all night, people.
Museum of Simulation at most. Okay, yeah.
They did the most. They're so extra.
Way to go, Nikki.
Thank you. Working on my stand-up over here.
So the tech demo was publicly released in January 2014, along with the submission into the Independent Game Festival student competition in 2014, where it was one of the winning games.
That's cool. How do you, get to go to those things? Because, that would be super fun. Just get to go see some, new games, up-and-coming games before they're, technically finished or even, published.
Yeah, that would be cool. Maybe you have to get an invitation. Maybe we're just not big enough.
If you're listening and you have a hookup to any of those, we would like to go. Send us an invite.
So the public tech demo became of high interest with the Reddit subforum rgaming, voting Xi's post announcing the demo as the fourth highest post as of 2015 with strong comparisons to Portal.
Whoa.
So it Yeah, it kind of blew up in Reddit for a little bit.
And that's how you actually heard about the game, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought that's what you said when you picked it last
week. I don't know if I was episode. On Reddit back in 2015, but I definitely heard of it after that.
But on Reddit, right? Yeah.
The game was formally announced under the new title Superliminal in June 2019. It was announced for Windows as an Epic Games Store timed exclusive in August 2019, along with the release of its full trailer. And then, it was
released on all those other things.
Yeah. And then it was released in November.
Like a couple years later. So like the Epic is just like another version of like Steam, right?
Yeah. Or Origin or yeah, it's there.
Gotcha.
It's a different store.
Okay.
But now it is on Steam and I think probably all those other game stores too.
Yeah. So do you have any clue of like how did most people like it? Do you remember what it was rated on Steam or anything like that?
Yeah, I kind of left out the part where I talk about how it did. And it did do pretty well, I think. It reviewed pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I got three fun facts for you.
Wow, three? I actually have a fun fact, or maybe two, depending on what your fun facts are.
Oh, cool. Yeah, throw them out there.
Well, you go first, and then I'll throw mine in.
Okay, so my first fun fact... There are loads of secrets in this game, secret rooms, secret objects, Easter eggs, blueprints. The one I want to talk about, though, is the secret dog ending.
Secret dog ending?
Yeah.
I want a dog.
It's probably not what you're thinking.
Ah.
This ending can only be achieved in the PC version of the game.
Oh, man.
That's what we played.
Oh, just kidding. I forgot because we played on Steam Deck. So yeah. I was playing with like a PlayStation 4 controller. So I forgot.
It's okay.
We could have gotten it.
Yeah. It involves swallowing a chess piece backwards through some of the stage in Chapter 4. The credits will be accompanied by pictures of dogs, which is a reference to a hidden ending in a Silent Hill game.
Okay. Random.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. I did discover, I think, two secret rooms, and I did enjoy, like, looking at all the stuff. They did have a bunch of random stuff on, like, cork boards and, like, cool messages and, like, things in the art and stuff that I liked looking at.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a total of 8 secret rooms.
Dang, I only found 2. I actually only found 1 on accident. I thought it was, like, what I was supposed to do to, like, go to the next... level or whatever.
Yeah, it was funny. You're asking me like what you did in the room. I'm like, I don't recognize the room. I have
funny because it's like, how would you know? Because that's how the game's been the whole time. So sometimes it was kind of hard to distinct what was like a Easter egg room and what was actually part of the game.
Yeah, you could think you figured out the puzzle and you still hadn't or whatever. Yeah.
So do you have any more of the Easter eggs?
I don't.
Because I did notice one, and, like, I was looking at the packages. Like, there's one level where they have all these packages laying out. And on the packages, there's, you know, like, mailing labels. So there's, like, addresses and people's names. And I saw a box that had a postage on it that said Christopher Floyd.
Oh, nice.
And at first I was thinking, oh, Christopher Floyd. The guy from Back to the Future. I'm like, no, that's Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, yeah.
Without the F. But I was still like, oh, Christopher Floyd. That sounds, like, familiar still.
I was thinking Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Just right
and I actually took a picture of it because I was like, I'm going to look that up. Because I was like, I remembered. I was like, okay, no, that's not Christopher Lloyd. But Christopher Floyd still sounds familiar. But he's actually the executive producer for the game.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, so fun fact number 2. There are achievements associated with the fire extinguishers and the fire alarms. We didn't get either of them.
What? We didn't?
No, we didn't. You have to pull all the fire alarms and extinguish all the fire extinguishers or, like, use up all the stuff.
How did we not get those? I was, like, doing all the fire extinguishers, and I couldn't do any of the fire alarms because you had... done them all in your game, and for some reason it carried over even though I started a new game.
But not the fire extinguishers for some reason. Yeah,
so weird. I wonder if that was a bug, or
I bet there's a secret room that has them or something. I don't know.
That's probably right, since you said there was like 8 of them.
So yeah, you can earn the achievement Fire Safety Achieved for pulling all the alarms, and the achievement Fires Extinguished for emptying out all the fire extinguishers. I thought those were kind of ironically named, because it's not really safety if you're pulling the fire alarm and then there's no fire.
Yeah, true.
And emptying out the fire extinguishers is probably also not a safe thing.
Not if there's not a fire, because then when you need it, it's going to be like, where's all the pressure?
You did get one achievement, though, for putting one of the cans, soda cans, in a recycling bin.
Yeah, that was fun. I forgot what it was called, though.
I think it was Environment Saved.
Oh, yeah. And then I did get another one for selecting all the different types of soda. Like, throughout the game, if you select all the different types of soda from the soda machine, you get, like, a random trophy for tasting them all or picking them all. I don't know.
Yeah. Gotta drink them all.
I don't know. I enjoy seeing, like, the random trophies pop up. And you're like, huh, that's funny. You're rewarding me for doing random things. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So I want to talk about a couple of the speed runs. Can you guess?
Wait, is this fun fact number three?
Yeah, this is fun fact number three.
Well, you have to say that, babe.
Okay, sorry. So fun fact number three.
There we go.
I'm going to have you guess. What do you think the current any percent speed run for the game is?
1 hour.
You're a little high.
A little high?
Yeah.
45 minutes.
You're still actually, when I said a little high, I meant like you're way too high.
1 minute.
Okay, that's a little fast.
5 minutes.
Close. Okay.
Cutting my guesses off.
So the current like world record runner is like just under 6 minutes. How they do it is basically almost every chapter, they pick up one of the first objects and then they make it big enough to like push them out of bounds, mm-hmm. and they go and find the elevator that way. So they, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Cheater, cheater. Okay. What about the not any percent? Yeah. What about, you know?
The glitchless.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the glitchless where you're actually like running through the game as fast
as
you can.
I think that's probably closer to like an hour.
You're still pretty high with the hour guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. 20 minutes?
Ooh, almost. 21:19 is the current.
Okay.
Glitchless percent. I watched some of that and man, they pretty much never stop like moving forward. Mm-hmm. So every single puzzle, it's like they grab a piece, put it like in front of them and they keep like walking through. It's pretty fun to watch too.
Cool. I'll have to like check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some pretty fun speed runs, and that's pretty much my history and fun facts.
All right.
Moving on. Pros and cons. Do you have anything positive you want to say about the game? I know you have a few negative things.
Yeah. Overall, you know, I think the game was like pretty good. Mm. I like the puzzles. I think that they were really fun. And I thought that they progressed nicely in difficulty.
Yeah, I like the puzzles as well. They kind of range from like really simple, just making an object big enough to jump onto, mm-hmm. to like bang your head against the wall trying to figure it out.
I didn't feel like any of them were like that hard. Where I wanted to bang my head against the wall. But it was kind of interesting having you watch me play.
Yeah.
And then, like, hearing how you did something and I did something in totally different ways. So I definitely think, like, this game could be easier for some people than others. It's like...
Yeah. And what was interesting is we kind of struggled at different points, I think.
Yeah.
Like on some of the stuff I struggled with, you didn't struggle with at all. And then some of the stuff you struggle with, I'm like, yeah, I didn't struggle with that at all.
Yeah, because it's like for me, I don't struggle with the visual stuff as much of like some of the other more subtle things where it was like depending on which direction you looked or something like that.
I can think of one that we both struggled with, and that was the Apple fan one.
Yeah.
That one was tough.
Yeah, there was one. It was like a giant room. You have two sets of stairs that lead to a button that you need something heavy on to open a door. And then right in front of the stairs is a giant fan. And you have to figure out how to get an apple like all the way up to the button to keep the door open. But like the fan wants to blow your apples off
and that ledge. And you can't actually pick the apple up. You can only make clones in front of the apple.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that one was pretty hard.
Yeah.
But we ended up solving it in totally different ways on accident.
Yeah, I glitched that puzzle out. I thought that that what I did to glitch it out was the solution, and that I couldn't recreate it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I ended up somehow making a gigantic apple
yeah.
in the room, even though that's technically not supposed
like,
to be possible.
Like, kind of like what you were saying with the people who do the any percent or like the cheating thing.
No, that's
usually, like they make the object so big that they push themselves out. Did you do that? Or?
No, those are with objects they can pick up. This is just an object that.
Oh,
you
true.
And yeah, you're not supposed to be able to make this object big.
That's true.
Which I was somehow able to
do. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. But yeah, then you actually did the correct solution. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, that actually makes a lot more sense than what I did.
But I like that like, they're not always the same type of puzzle. It's not always like, how do I get to this door? I guess like towards the end, it starts getting a little more abstract. But because then you're like going through windows, walls, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just falling through floors. Like, but yeah, I like that it kind of just like is a good variety. It's not just like the same puzzle type over and over again, which like at first I was kind of thinking like, oh, these are all just going to be like, how do I make this big so I can jump on this, you know?
Yeah.
It like, had a good variation.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite parts of the game were the portals that you could like scale up or down so that when you went through one, you would like make yourself like really huge or really tiny
yeah.
on the other side.
I will say this game, it kind of makes you feel like you're Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
With the perspectives and like how it changes. It's kind of what I would imagine Alice feels like in Alice in Wonderland is like
a
your character in this. Yeah. I also like that it plays with optical illusions and perspective in a puzzle game, which I think is something kind of unique and different. But yeah, it's really fun to play around with that kind of stuff, even if you get it wrong or whatever. It's definitely like an environment where you have to learn as you go.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And test different stuff out. Because, like, what worked in the previous level might not necessarily be the same rules in the next level.
Yeah.
You'll try the same thing. You're like, wait, why isn't this working? And it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, they'll change up the rules a little bit. One of the things I really liked was the atmosphere, I thought was really cool. So it does feel like you're walking through a museum. And so the fact that the original name was Museum of Simulation Technology makes a lot of sense.
Kind of like a museum. I don't know. Certain rooms, I see it more than others. But at certain times, it feels like you're just in like a warehouse.
Yeah.
Or like just a workplace.
Or
kind of,
kind of like behind the scenes or something.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like the game itself is like a work of art. I don't know. It's mm-hmm. very like artsy.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Very creative game.
Yeah.
I think the story, it's not in-depth or anything, but it's cheeky. It's fun. It's there enough to, like, make everything kind of make sense in a way. I mean, not really, but sort of.
It does the most important thing a story can do, which is not get in the way of playing the game.
Yeah. But basically, you're, like, at this medical facility, I would say.
Yeah, and they put you into, like, a dream state or whatever.
Yeah, but, like, obviously your dream state goes wrong.
Yeah, lucid dream state where you mm-hmm. can kind of control stuff.
Yeah. And obviously yours goes wrong, and then they end up not being able to find you. At least that's what the Dr. Glenn Pierce says. And so then you're trying to, like, basically get out of this dream so that you can get back to your life or whatever.
Yeah, it's like you're going deeper into it instead of coming out of it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of little jokes in there. There's like we were saying, you kind of get all your information from these radios that are placed around, and you can, you know, press a button on that and hear a little bit. And then like at certain other points, you can kind of hear like a lady speaking like on
the AI or whatever.
Yeah. And like they kind of let you know what's going on. But, yeah, not too much of a deep story.
Yeah.
Not too much, like, symbolism or anything, I don't think.
Yeah, just enough to help with the atmosphere.
Exactly. And, just enough to kind of make you feel like, okay, there's a legit reason, like, I'm doing this. And not just like, oh, you're crazy, you know?
Yeah. I also thought, going back to atmosphere, I also felt like the soundtrack was pretty good. It's kind of that like classy music that's really good for solving puzzles too.
You thought it was good? I actually have the music as one of my cards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It just sounded like elevator music the whole time. I was like, this is boring. I almost put it on mute and like listen to my own music. But then I was like, no, I need to hear like Dr. Glenn Pierce and what he's got to say.
I thought it was classy. It's like that puzzle solving music. It's, you know,
it's classy. I don't know. Is elevator music classy, Eric?
Yeah, it can be.
That's on what elevator you're in.
It could definitely be classy.
And kind of like what we mentioned in the fun facts, I really liked all the secret things you can discover, all the Easter eggs, all the kind of stuff, the little details that you can look at. I feel like a lot of times it doesn't really pay off to look at all the little details, but in this one, there's just a lot to find, a lot of little things.
Yeah, I like that too. I like the loading screens were always pretty silly. Mm-hmm. I like the little cork boards and like boards they would have set up.
Yeah.
Brainstorming boards, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of rewards you for not necessarily going like the obvious route. You know, it's like sometimes it'll have like the door right in front of you and like traffic cones lining the way, and you're like, obviously I need to go to this door. But if you just like maybe go around that door and look around the environment a little bit more, you might find something silly.
Yeah, cool secret. So that was all my pros.
That's all I got too.
Go to cons.
Mm-hmm.
So my first con is this game is too short in my opinion.
Yeah, that's actually my first one too, especially for, you said it was $20.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like about a 4-hour long game. You can do co-op and you can play online if you really want to, but...
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, 20
seems high to
me. I'm probably not going to play anymore, so...
Yeah, I would pretty much have liked more of just about everything. More puzzles, more types of items to interact with, more ways to interact with said items, more settings in which to interact with said items.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just want more. So yeah. They didn't do the most.
They do the most.
They could have done more.
Yeah, I agree. And it is like what is there is tight. Like it's good. It's fun. But I want them to turn it up to 11.
So if they come out with a Super Liminal 2, maybe they'll crank everything up for you.
Eric. That'd be good.
Just for you. One of my major main cons and why I don't think I'll be playing this game anymore, even on multiplayer or co-op, is because this game made me sick. And it actually does give you a warning at the beginning of the game, but a con within a con is that it doesn't really leave the warning up long enough for you to read it. It's like only up for a short amount of time, but it says this game contains flashing lights and contrasting visual patterns which may trigger seizures in some people. Also note that some players have reported experiencing disassociation and or derealization due to the nature of the dream setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what happened to me. Not the seizure part, obviously, but I don't know. I just like got really nauseous playing this game. So yeah. I guess something with all the perspective changing around and like the dreamlike setting maybe kind of just threw me off. I don't know, but I can only play the game for like 20-30 minutes at a time, and then I was like, I gotta step away.
Yeah, I can think of some parts where you're kind of like the floor is like suddenly like one of the walls and you're walking kind of sideways in a room or walking on the ceiling or something.
I don't know, I think it was just some of the weird crazy stuff that was going on in the game. I don't know. I don't normally get like motion sickness or anything like that, so
yeah, for me personally, I really enjoyed that kind of stuff. Like I really liked when the game kind of went out and threw you into a weird like situation where you're suddenly like,
I mean, if it didn't make me feel sick, I think it's cool. Yeah, visually I think it's cool, but yeah, I just, it's not much you can do about it if it makes you sick.
Yeah,
true. You know, you kind of have to look at it to play. So what's another con that you have, Eric?
So one of mine is there's a part of the game where it tries to get a bit scary. And that felt a little bit out of place to me. It didn't really go hard enough to be satisfying, and it felt unresolved because you simply transitioned out of it once you turn like a generator on.
Mm-hmm.
So it just like Yeah, I don't really know what they were going for at that
point.
Yeah, I think I kind of did. Like, okay, you have some dark thoughts sometimes, and, you know, you can get into some dark places if you're in your head.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like, they didn't go deep enough into it or hard enough into it or whatever.
Yeah, I just felt like they brought it up and then dropped it. And it was like, I don't know. It's like, I'm just not learning about this, and then it just kind of disappears. And I was like,
yeah,
why bring it up and not explain? I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it really got scary enough, or it didn't really justify it either very well.
I mean, at one point, I still don't even know if it was red paint or blood. It could have just been paint. I don't know.
Probably definitely paint, because there's paint cans everywhere.
That's true. But they kind of like wanted you to think it was blood, the way it was smeared and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, either go for it or don't. Like, it didn't really do anything for the game, I don't think. If they wanted to, I think there's something else they could have done better to symbolize, like, dark thoughts or something, rather than just random red paint. Another thing I don't really like is sometimes the game will just throw in something that it hasn't really, like, trained you for, quote unquote. So it's not really obvious what you're supposed to do, what the correct thing is. Or if you just found a secret room or something, which I kind of mentioned earlier, but it's like, sometimes you could be stuck in a room for an hour if you didn't look it up or have anyone helping you, trying to figure out how to get to the next level, and it turns out you're just in a secret room and you would have no idea knowing that.
Yeah, I guess, you know? I guess if you thought you figured out one of the puzzles and you didn't, and you were stuck in a secret room. Yeah,
it's like the secret rooms weren't different enough from the other rooms, or at least the two that I found, to let you know, okay, this is a secret room and not just like the next part of the game.
Yeah.
Because the environment does change up on you so much. It's normal to just go from one level, you're in a warehouse, and the next level you're in like a locker room or a museum or something.
Yeah, I agree.
So I thought that was kind of just frustrating a little bit. But I also think they were just going for this theme of kind of confusion. And so, like, some of the stuff that I think is cons, it might be actually stuff they were doing on purpose to make you feel a certain type of way emotionally.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see them not wanting to go out of their way to label a secret room a secret room. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I think they were trying to make you feel a little anxious, a little unsure, a little all these things. So I might just play into that. They could have
just and they're trying to make the puzzles. They're probably trying to stretch them out a little bit too, because there's not a ton of them.
That's true. What's something else you got?
That's all I got for cons.
Okay, so I have a couple more. I think the ending is just drawn out, like, way longer, because it's like they kind of introduce the ending. You kind of know,
like, you're going at into the ending end sequence.
Yeah, the end sequence. And for me, I just found myself thinking, oh my God, like, this needs to be over. Like, how long is the ending, you know? And again, this could have been what they were, something they were trying to do psychologically, because I do think this game tries to play on your feelings and your psychological thinking a little bit. But I don't know. I was just, like, over it. By the time I was at the end, I was just like, I'm ready to be done with this
game.
Yeah,
when you start the ending sequence, it feels like, okay, I'm, like, right at the end of the game. When really, you actually have quite a few puzzles left, and you
know, it's like the ending is a whole, like, third act, fourth act, whatever it is. Oh, and then I already mentioned that I didn't like the music earlier, so that was the other thing I had. I just thought it was boring, and it kind of put me to sleep a little bit.
It's that classic, like, brain thinking music.
Mm-hmm.
Brain thinking music, yeah. That's probably the right word, I think.
Yeah. So you got lots of strategy for these puzzles?
Oh. Honestly, it's kind of hard to give general advice for this game, since a lot of the puzzles involve outside-the-box thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, just always think outside the box.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really going to be dependent on you as a person, how you learn, how you perceive things. Obviously, we all look at stuff differently, so yeah, this game is like, I think if you watch this on Twitch and you saw like five different people playing this game, you would see five different ways to play the game,
unless they're speed running, in which that's case true. There's definitely just one fastest way.
Yeah, that's true. But in general, like, if someone's just playing for the first time,
yeah
then you know, everyone's going to have their own unique game.
Yeah.
But some of the things that you can might help you, that I have anyways, is step one, try not to do the most obvious thing. Like, especially like in this game, if there's like a door right in front of you, you're probably going to try to open that door and it's going to be a brick wall or something. So, yeah, go ahead and try it. But like, yeah, it's like think outside the box. But it's just like if you think something is obvious, maybe try to do something that's not that. If it seems too obvious, it's probably too obvious to be true.
Yeah, I'd say for me, like as far as scaling the objects, like if you're trying to make an object big, you're trying to look against the furthest wall, look high, you want to look up. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to scale something small, you want to like go, you know, against the closest wall, like get it really close
and look down
and look, or not necessarily, well, maybe, yeah, maybe down, but yeah, stuff like that. So just scaling objects is can get pretty easy once you kind of know how they're scaling.
Yeah, and it took me a second for it to click, like, oh, the object is like how you perceive it, so it's as big or as small as it looks against the background of stuff.
Yeah,
it took my brain a second for that to register so that I could play it in a skilled way.
Yeah, so if you want it to be big, you have to look at it against the furthest object away. Mm-hmm. Basically,
yeah,
or the furthest wall away or whatever.
Yeah, I think if you're an artist and you've kind of done some stuff with perspective and stuff, like this game will probably be a little easier for you, but it's not that hard overall anyway.
Yeah, so it's not too
don't
bad.
Don't let anything deter you. If you like puzzle games, you'll probably like this.
Yeah,
as long as you don't get motion sickness. Another thing that I have is be curious. Check out literally anything, everything that's in this environment. If there's a door, if there's a painting, if there's an exit sign. Like, also, this just reminded me, because when I was playing, there was one point where the cursor just turned into a random smiley face for, like, a whole hallway. I never figured out why it did that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But anyways, kind of notice and look at all the little small things in this game, because, like, because a lot of times you kind of have to look around for a minute to figure out, like, what object you can even grab. It's not super obvious.
Yeah. They like to hide those grabbable objects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of have the same thing. Look high, look low. It's easy to miss an important detail. Sometimes you have to look through like cracks in the wall, or see things from a certain perspective to get it. But yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I would normally advise people to cheat if they get stuck. But this is such a short game that I really recommend trying to figure it out yourself first.
Yeah.
Like, don't give it up that easily, since, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if it's taking you like an hour to figure something out,
yeah,
maybe look it up. But you could probably figure it out. I didn't think any of the puzzles here were unsolvable, you know?
Yeah, I went through it without getting any hints, and it was okay.
Wow, aren't you special?
Yeah, I'm really good.
Just kidding. But yeah, overall, I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. It made me sick, and I don't really think it's worth $20. So if you like puzzle games and it goes on sale and you don't get like motion sickness easy or anything like that, then check it out.
Nikki's review is, it made me sick and it's not worth $20.
Yeah. Probably give it like 2.5 out of 5 stars.
I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. But it didn't make you sick, so.
Good point.
So, Eric, did you find anything for the future of this game? Are they coming out with a sequel?
I couldn't find like the next game they're working on or anything. The only thing I saw was like back in 2021 they added the multiplayer, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
and I was trying that out a little bit earlier today.
I like how that came out in 2021, but on the home screen it still has like new next to the new option. It's not that new anymore, y'all.
Yeah. So yeah, the multiplayer includes a mode called group therapy, where you're kind of, it's like a battle royale, mm-hmm. where you're trying to get to the exit first. And then there's also like a co-op mode where you can kind of work through the game together.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, but the co-op one is probably cool if I could like play it anymore. Maybe you can find another friend, play co-op with you.
Oh, yeah, I think you have to have 2 people who own the game. I don't think we could play it together.
Darn.
So, Nikki, I want to know, I think the audience wants to know, did you manage to beat this 3 to 4 hour game?
Oh, yeah. Smashed it.
Killed it?
Killed it. Probably, I beat it so fast. I probably beat it in like 3 hours because I was so good at all these puzzles.
You probably just got it in one session, right? Mm-hmm. One, like...
Well, I already said I had to play in like 30-minute increments. So, no, actually I had to play in several sessions, but it's okay. Like, I just played in between other games and stuff. So
okay. So you got it.
I did beat it.
So no rap this week.
Yeah. No
rap. Made that challenge too easy. Should've.
We gave you guys a bonus rap last episode, so, you
should have made it so you had to solve everything blindfolded.
Oh, my God. That would be nuts. I don't even know how you do that on an optical illusion game. That's about perspective and stuff.
We do have some news about the next episode.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
So it's going to be our season finale episode.
Yeah. Season finale. And we're going to have a special guest host.
Yeah. Jennifer Lidke, my sister-in-law.
Yeah, if you're like, wait a second, that last name sounds familiar. We're going to have Eric's brother's wife on the podcast.
All the way from Atascadero, California.
It's the big CA. And Jen is cool. And what game did she pick?
Do you want to guess? Well,
I know.
We kind of picked it for her.
Well, I mean, we knew what she was going to pick if she was going to pick a game.
Yeah. Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go. And we haven't done a phone game in a really long time, like since Words with Friends or something, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done one, so.
Yeah, I mean, we did Plants vs. Zombies, which you can play on your phone too, but I don't think it necessarily counts.
I wouldn't count that, yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to be getting back into Pokemon Go. We've kind of been playing it on and off over the last 7 years.
Yeah, every now and then I'll pick it up and like progress a little bit and then put it down.
Yeah. But Jen, she's been playing it the whole time. She's never stopped. She's been Pokemon going the whole time.
She's
going to be a really good guest for this game.
A lot of good advice on this game, I think.
Oh, yeah. We're really hyping her up.
Are you excited to hear what her challenge is?
Yeah, because I don't know. There's so many different things you could challenge with this game. Like, you know, collect 200 Pokemon, win 50 battles. I don't know. Like, do a raid. There's like a lot of different things you could like make a challenge with this game, I think.
So what she has is to do the 7 consecutive day stuff. Like
stuff. So the goals, the 7 consecutive days.
Yeah, the 7 consecutive day like streaks.
Okay.
I'll reword that. It would entail completing 1 field research task a day, catching at least 1 Pokemon a day, and spinning at least 1 Pokestop per day.
Ooh, that's the hard one.
Yeah. Because
there's
no
Pokestops near our house.
Okay, you have to spend stops to get the field research tasks anyway. At the 7-day mark, you'll get a special reward encounter for the 7-day research task streak.
Ooh.
And that's your challenge.
Okay, cool. So we are going to have to leave the house every day for at least 7 days in a row. Dang, Jan, that's going to be hard for me.
I don't know if I can do this one.
I think I have faith.
I'm going to have to put on pants. Oh, man.
That's, I mean,
too much work.
There's probably Pokestops near your work, right?
No.
Darn.
I work kind of in the outskirts of Cartersville.
All right. Well, we'll do our best, Jen. We'll do our best.
Nikki will do her best.
Oh, Eric.
No, I'll try.
Boo.
We'll see how it goes.
All right, everybody. Until next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye. As always, if you like this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. And you can check out our website at pressanybutton.net. We would love to hear your opinion on Superliminal. Have you played it? Did it make you sick? Let us know. All right. Bye.